Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Chof Zayin. Before we begin the actual shiur, we glance at the side of the Gemara where you see the nosei, the topic heading, where we've written Hamokor v'habosis lema'amodois and Misparam. We're going to see the source and the basis of what the Mishnah had mentioned, that there are Ma'amodos, which we described as representatives of Klal Yisrael for sacrificial offering, for the public sacrifices that offered the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. There were representatives, and we refer to them as the Ma'amodos. And we also see Misparam, the issue of numbers. So now the Gemara. 4 lines from the top, it's a quote from the Mishnah, Eluhein Ma'amodos, Lefi Shenemar Tzav Es B'nei Yisrael V'chulei. The Gemara asks, My Ka'omar, what is the connection between the section of the Torah that speaks about bringing the daily sacrifice and the Ma'amodos? Hochi Ka'omar. So here we have a restatement of what the Mishnah said, in the more following clear and elaborate fashion. Eluhein ma'amodos. These are the ma'amodos. Matam tiknu ma'amodos. And why were ma'amodos established? The fi shenema, because the pasuk says, Tzav es b'nei Yisrael v'yamart aleihem, you shall command Israel and tell them, es korbinu lachmi lishai. And this from Bamidbar Perichov Ches is the section of the Torah that deals with many different kinds of sacrifices. And here we're talking about the daily public sacrifice. We call the Tomid Shel Shachar, the Tomid Shel Bayin Arbayim. V'heich korbanu shel adam korevu eino omid al gabov. How could it be that a person, in this case the people's sacrifice, is being offered, and he, the owner, and in this case the public is the owner, v'hu eino omid al gabov, and he's not standing by his sacrifice? Now, of course, we can't have the entire population on a daily basis standing in the Beis HaMikdash for the daily offerings. Hiskinu Nevi'im Harishonim, the early prophets established Esrim V'arba Mishmoros, 24 groups. I'll call Mishmor U'Mishmor, regarding each one of these groups. Hoya Maimud B'Yushalayim Shalkinim Shalvim V'Shal Yisraelim. There was a presence of Kehanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, Higiazman Mishmor Lalois, when their assigned time came to travel to Jerusalem, Kehanim, Levim, Oilim, Yerushalayim. So the Kehanim, Levim would travel to Yerushalayim. And as we go through the Gemara and the Rashi, you'll see that there were Kehanim, Levim, and Yisraelim as well. Some of the Yisraelim of that particular group would go to Jerusalem, and others would remain in their respective communities. And during that week, so they would pray, and there would be fasting that took place. Tonu Rabbonim, Esrim V'arba'o Mishmoros Be'eretz Yisrael. Now, we have a brief section that we skip the bracketed section to preserve the accurate reading. In other words, the final reading. Within the brackets, there is a phrase that's not clear, and the Gemara will point that out. But we have read so far that there were 24 service groups in Israel. Shteim esrei mehem biYericho. 12 of them were in Yericho. So of the 24, 12 were in Yericho. Yericho was a place from which food would be supplied for the Mishmoros. Now, we skipped a section, and we'll go over the brackets now. the source had said there were 24 mishmaros ushtemes rei biyericho. That means that would indicate that there were another 12 in Yericho, which would lead then to a group of there would be a number too large, would be 36 mishmaros. So the Gemara asks ushtemes rei biyericho nefishan luhu tuva. If you were going to read it as we did, that an additional 12 were in Yericho, you would have too many. Ela shteim esrei mehen biyericho. Of the 24 mishmaros, 12 were from Yericho. Higia zman hamishmor lalos. When the time for the representative group came to go to Jerusalem, chatzia mishmor hoya oyle meretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. Half of them would go from the rest of Israel to Jerusalem. The chatzi hamishmor hoya oyla miricho, and the other half, since we said there were 24 mishmaros, really 12 from Yericho and 12 from the rest of Israel. So the 24 is split into two, half from the rest of Israel and half from Yericho. And they would come from Yericho, kedei shiyisapku mayim umozon lachem shibirushalayim. They would be assigned the job of providing water and food to the other half of the mishmar that was in Yerushalayim. Rashi points out that Yericho was near Yerushalayim, so it was convenient. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Kohenim Levim Visraelim Ma'akvin Esa Korban. We have a number one because shortly we're going to have a Tanaic source which seems to say something else, but Rav Yehuda says that you need to have Kohanim and Levim as well as Yisraelim. Their presence is binding for the offering of sacrifices. B'masnisa Tana, in another Tanaic source, it says in a Tanaic source, as opposed to the Maimra, the Amoraic comment made by in the name of Shmuel, here you have a Tanaic source that reads, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer, Kenim Ulevim Ukle Shir Ma'akvin Es Akorban. And we've dashed underlined the main point of difference. This source says that Kehanim, Levim, and instruments, musical instruments, are binding for the acceptance of a sacrifice. So now, as far as Kehanim and Levim, that's clear. You need the Kohanim to offer the sacrifices, and you need the Levim who would recite the respective chapters of Psalms that accompanied the sacrifices. And the Levim had other service roles in the Beis HaMikdash. So their presence is clear. Now, as far as the difference between number one and two, number one spoke about Yisraelim and number two speaks about Klei Shir, but my komifugi, what is the point of controversy or difference between these sources? So more answers. Mor sovar ikar shira bepeh, mor sovar ikar shira bekli. The word ikar means the main, the focal point. The focal point of song. Now if the focal point of the music is are the musical instruments, so that's what source number two mentioned, that you need to have those instruments because they are the mainstay of the shira, of the song that accompanied the offering of sacrifices. However, according to source number one, that says the mainstay is peh, is the vocal element, so if that be the case, so you could have, basically anybody could fulfill the role of the vocal aspect of the song. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. And before we continue in the Gemara itself, on the side we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. We'll notice a trapezoid or volcano shape. This highlights names in the Gemara. You'll see Moshe, Shmuel, and David. Their names are highlighted. They are, on the side, we've referred to them as the Mesakne, the ones who established the Mesakne HaMishmoros, the ones who set up these service groups, Umisporam Elofi Rabbi Chama, and the numbers of Mishmoros that were established when they were established, according to Rabbi Chama. And so his breakdown is Moshe set up 8 mishmaros, Shmuel set up 16, and David set up 24. In other words, they were adding. It was Moshe set up 8, Shmuel added another 8 for a total of 16, and David added another 8 for a total of 24. Now, as the Gemara goes on, try to scan ahead. Do you notice crown shapes that appear? The crown shapes introduce Kushos al Hamisporim Shenosan Rabbi Chama. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll see that we'll be challenging the numbers that Rabbi Chama gave through these Tanaic sources. So now the Gemara itself. Omar of Chama bar Gurya, Omar Rav. Moshe tikein lohem li Yisrael shmoyne mishmoros. Moshe set up 8 groups. Arba'a me Elazar, v'arba'a me Isamar. The sons of Aaron, Aaron being the first Kohen, he had 2 sons that survived. Originally had 4 sons. Nadav and Avihu, however, died, leaving Elazar and Isamar. Each one of those sons, in the course of time, they had children and children's children and developed into a whole line of priesthood, of kahuna. So from the family, of Elazar, and from the family of Isamar, Moshe Rabbeinu assigned 4 groups from each one. Bar Shmuel, the Midom al Sheshesre. As time went on, Shmuel added another 8 mishmoros from those families. And Bar David, the Midom al Esrim va'arba'a. And David added another 8 for a total of 24. Shenemar, the Posuk indicates this in the Posuk in Divrei HaYomim, B'shnasu arboim l'malchus David nidrashu vayimotzei bohem gibore chayel biazer gilad. So we see from here that David was involved with adding to the number of mishmoros. Mesvei. Now, as we said, we start a question, bearing in mind that what we have to do is keep one finger on Reb Chama and his numbers, and now the source. Moshe tikin l'Yisrael shmoyne mishmoros. This, by the way, this part of the source conforms to Rabbi Chama. Ba David Ushmuel v'midom al esrim va'arba'a. You see here, David works together with Shmuel. It seems that together they expanded the number of mishmoros from the 8 of Moshe, and together Shmuel was involved with adding 16 mishmoros for a total of 24. Now that's not what Rabbi Chama said regarding Shmuel. He said that Shmuel had established just up till 16. Shenemar, the pasuk indicates Hemo Yosad David Ushmuel Haroya Be'emunosam. The word Haroe is the visionary. Shmuel was a prophet. He was a Novi, so he's called Shmuel the Roe. So it said, and this pasuk would indicate that David worked along with Shmuel to establish the Mishmoros. So that would be a challenge to Rabbi Chama. The more answers, Hochi Ka'amar. The source is to be understood as follows. Miyasaidoi Shel David Ushmuel Horamosi. Again, Shmuel is called Horamosi. That's the name of his place from where he came. David and Shmuel Hemidum al Esrim V'arba, which means not that Shmuel was directly involved with expanding it to 24, but rather from that which they had established, you eventually got to 24. So that Shmuel was responsible from going from 8 to 16, like Rabbi Chama said. And from that point, then David added another 8. So from what they established, you got up to 24, but not that Shmuel was himself involved with establishing up till 24. Tanya Idoch. And now we have another source, and this source will present a question. Notice the structure of the Gemara. We have a long question. There's going to be most of this long question, in fact, is in brackets, and we'll be skipping the bracketed section on our first read-through. So we have a Tanakh source, and it says here, Moshe tikein lehem l'Yisrael sheish esrei mishmaros. Moshe Rabbeinu established 16 mishmaros. And that's not like Rabbi Chama. Shmoyne me'elazar u'shmoyne me'isamar. 8 from Elazar and 8 from Isamar. And as we said, that's not like Rabbi Chama. And if you skip the bracketed section, you find yourself now 3 lines from the bottom. Tufta de Rav Chama bar Guya. This would seem to repudiate Rav Chama. He said Moshe established 8 mishmaros, and this source indicates 16. Omar loch Rav Chama bar Guya tanoi hi. Rav Chama says the issue concerning Moshe Rabbeinu and how many mishmaros he established is a machlokes tanoi vano di amri ki hai tano di Omar shmoine, and I go like the tano that said shmono mishmaros. And you can see that was the first Tanaic source, where by the first crown shape, we have a little arrow on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above. And you can see in that source, Moshe indicated that, the source indicated that Moshe established 8 mishmaros, like Rav Chama bar Guria. Now, as we said, we had a long section of Gemara in brackets. But what we have done so far is we demonstrated the second question on Rav Chama. We presented that and gave the answer. Now in the brackets, let's go back. Ukshiravu b'nei Elazar. We had spoken about Moshe establishing 16 mishmaros, and when b'nei Elazar, the descendants of Elazar, increased more rapidly, al b'nei Isamar, there was a larger population from Elazar more than Isamar, chalkum v'hemidum al esrim v'arba. They went from 16 mishmaros, added another 8, and got up till a total of 24 mishmaros. Shinemar, the pasuk says, "Vayi motzu b'nei Elazar rabim l'roshei hagiborim min b'nei Isamar." It turned out that the Elazar families had increased in size more than the Isamar families. Vayach lekum l'vnei Elazar roshim l'veis avos shisha asar u'l'vnei Isamar l'veis avosam shmoina. And the pasuk indicates that as a result of this increase, so then Elazar represented or contained 16 mishmaros, and the B'nai Isamar 8. 16 and 8, of course, is 24. The Oimer, and there's another pasuk that is base of Echad Achuz Elazar, the Achuz Achuz Li Isamar. My the Oimer, what is that last pasuk mean for us? So the last pasuk that was quoted here is coming to answer a thought you may have had. And before we read the Gemara, the thought that you may have had is that just like Elazar, we see increased in size, and hence there was an increase in the number of mishmaros of service groups that came from him. The same phenomenon of increase took place with Isamar as well, just that Isamar increased less than Elazar, meaning then was according to this, the thought might have been that each one, Elazar and Isamar, started out with 4 mishmaros apiece, and as time went on, Elazar increased at a greater rate than Isamar, leading to 16 from Elazar and 8 from Isamar. Well, the Gemara then tells us that this pasuk says that's not what happened. Let's see now in the Gemara. My v'oimer. What is taught or learned from that second pasuk, the base of Echad pasuk? V'chitema. You might have thought ki hechi dinefishi b'nei Elazar hocha nami dinefishi b'nei Isamar. Namely, regarding Isamar, Shmoina, we talk about Isamar having, at the end of the day, 8 mishmaros, me'ikara arbo'o havu, and that 8 represents an increase from an original 4. Well, so we're telling you that is not true. Toshma, base av, echad achuz le'elazar, v'achuz achuz le'isamar. Now the gist of that pasuk is that with regard to Elazar, the original number that they had was 8, and of 8 mishmaros, and that number was added to what they originally had. In other words, they started off with 8 mishmaros, and 8 more were added. As opposed to Isamar, that which they originally had, the 8 is what they have now. They didn't go through this massive population increase, and hence the number that Moshe Rabbeinu originally established for them, namely 8, they remained with 8 mishmaros. Now, after all said and done, the Gemara says, Tufta to Rav Chama Bar Guria, as we point out before, this source indicates that Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible for 16 mishmaros, when Rav Chama said only 8. So is this not a refutation of what Rav Chama stands for? Amar loch Rav Chama Bar Guria, so Rav Chama will answer, Tanoi hi. The issue of how many mishmaros Moshe Rabbeinu established is a machloikas tanoi v'ano di amri, and I said ki hai tano di omar shmoino. I said like the earlier source that said Moshe established only 8 mishmaros. Tonu rabbanan arba mishmaros olu min hagoyla. When the second Beis HaMikdash was established, was rebuilt, this was at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra came back with a contingent of Jews from the exile, and it says here that only 4 of the original 24 mishmoros came back to Israel. The Eluhain, the following are the names of the families: Yediah, Horim, Pashur, V'Imar. So those are 4 of the original 24 mishmoros. Omdu Nevi'im Shebeinehem, the prophets that were amongst them at the time of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'cholkum v'hemidum al esrim v'arba'a. The 4 families that did come back were then broken down into a total of 24. And here the Gemara explains what took place. Bolulum v'nosnum b'kalfi. They took the names of the families and wrote them on, we'll say for our purposes, pieces of paper, and they put them in an urn, creating lots. They made lots. Rashi on the top says, V'cholkum l'chof dalid, the 4 mishmaros were divided into 24. V'kosfu kinui shel kol echad ve'echad v'chalak, and they wrote the names on each one of them of these lots. Volulum v'nosnum b'kafi kosfu al chof dalid chatichos klaf, on 24 pieces of parchment they wrote roshei mishmaros. They wrote the heads of the mishmaros, shecholku me'oison dalid. In other words, you had the original 4, and the original 4 were then broken down into 6 each. And on each one of the lots, the head of the mishmar's name was written. Ba yedaya, mishmaros shel yedaya ba, echad mehen, noitel, Bo echo me v'noitel chelko v'chelik chamisha chatichos klaf dehavu lehu sheish, so that you'd have a member of the Yedaya family come. He would draw one lot and an additional 5. Umi shehoya oyle biyodo rishon hoya l'shabbos rishona. And the name that came up in the first lot would serve the first week. Shebeseder hoyu oylin biyodo zu achar zu. Kach hoyu oyvdin b'shavsaseim zu achar zu. So when the representative of Yedaya came and he drew the name of one of the called heads of the families under that service group, so he would, whatever name was drawn first, would serve the first Shabbos, and the next five would serve each one on a subsequent Shabbos, one after the other. So that's what the source is telling us, that Yedaya came and drew his portion and five more, v'chelik chaverov, sheish, for a total of six. And as the Gemara goes on, the third line from the top, bochorim, another one of the mishmaros that came back, v'notal chelkoi, v'chelik chaverov sheish. He would take his, he would draw a lot with one of his family names on it, and five more for a total of six. V'chein pashchur, v'chein imar, the final two of the four mishmaros that did come back. V'chein hisnu neviim shebeinehem, and the following agreement was made, condition was stated by the prophets amongst them. Shafilu yahayoriv rosh mishmeres oile, if in the course of time yahayoriv, which was the first of the when we had the original 24 mishmaros, he was the first one in the series of the cycle of mishmaros that would serve. If he should decide, if that family, if that service group should decide to come back to the land of Israel, lo yidche Yedaya mimakomo, Yedaya was not pushed out of its position. Yedaya was one of the four groups that did come back initially with the rebuilding of the second base of Mikdash, so he would maintain his spot. Elo Yedaya Iker v'yoriv tofelo. Yedaya, which we said was broken down into six service groups, so what would happen is that they would be regrouped into five service groups, and Yehoyoriv that came back would be subsidiary, and they would serve in the number six position. The Israel Shevoisa Mishmor Miskansin Boreim V'Korin V'Maisa Bracious. On the side of the Gemara, we have the topic heading Hesber Loma B'Ma'amodos Korin Hapsukim Shemaisa Bracious. Why, during the Ma'amodos, which were these representatives that represented Klal Yisrael, why did they read from the Psukim Shomaisa Bracious? Maha Kesher Beinahem. What's the connection between the verses of creation and the offering of sacrifices? Meno Hani Milis. From where do we know this? And now the Gemara answers. Note that this is a long answer. Omer of Yankiv Bar Acha, Omer of Asi. If not for the ma'amados, the world would not continue. Shneamar, Vayomer Hashem Elokim b'mo edaki roshena. Avraham Avinu asks after the Almighty says that I'm going to grant you the land of Israel. He asks, how do I know that I will merit inheriting it? And the Gemara explains, Omar Avraham. Ribbono Shelom, Shemo Yisrael Choytim Lefanecha, Ata Oisilohem Kedor Hamabel UKedor Haflaga. Maybe my children, the Jews, will sin, and as a result of their sinning, they will lose the promise of receiving the land, and you will do to them like you did to the generation of the flood and the generation of the great scattering, the time of the Migdal Bovel. That's the Dor Haflaga. In other words, they will be scattered, and they won't merit inheriting the land. So what guarantee do I have to your promise that my descendants will inherit this land, the land of Israel? Omar le laf. So the Almighty says, no, that will not be. Omar lefonov ribonu shalom hoydieni bama irishena. Let me know through what merit I will have to inherit the land. Omar le. So the Almighty says, Chali Eglo Mishuleshes, V'Eiz Mishuleshes, V'Chulei. And if you look in the Psukim in Sefer Bracious, Avraham Avinu was instructed by the Almighty to take several different animals and to cut them into several pieces, and a covenant known as the Bris Bein Habsorim, the covenant amongst the different animals that he set up took place. So the Gemara continues. Amar Lefonav, Avram says to the Ribbono Shalom, he says, Ribbono Shalom, Tenach Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, the animals that he was ordered to bring were representative of sacrifices that would be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, this covenant that we are making using the animal pieces is, as we said, is representative of the sacrifices, so that's fine and good as long as the Beis HaMikdash continues. Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayam Matei Aleim, with the destruction of the temples, so what will be with them? Omar Lo, so the Almighty says, Kvar Tikanti Lohem Seder Kobonus, I have already established the order of sacrifices. Now that's a reference to the passages that are in the Torah, the passages in the Torah that refer to the sacrifices. Bizman Shikurin Bohen, when they read them, Lefonai, in front of me, Male Ani Aleam Kiilu Hikrivum Lefonai, I consider it as if they offered those sacrifices. Vani Moichalehem Al Kol Avonosam, and through their recitation of the passages concerning the sacrifices, I consider it as if they offered the sacrifices, and as is well known, sacrifices serve to atone for sins. And therefore, they will always have a means of maintaining their hold on the land of Israel. So, I think that from the context of the Gemara, it's not limited simply to the land of Israel, even though Avraham Avinu was speaking in that context, but we see that it goes beyond that, because in the course of this discussion we saw that Avraham Avinu was fearful that maybe the world would be exposed to a flood or to another type of punishment. So the Rebbeinu Shalom answered him that in the merit of being involved with sacrifices, of reading about sacrifices, and certainly during the actual offering of the sacrifice at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that was the basis of maintaining the world and not being exposed to destruction. So our original question was, what's the connection between Maisa Bracious and the Ma'amodos? We see it over here. Maisa Bracious means the world, the maintenance of the world is directly is a direct outgrowth of the offering of sacrifices and the reading of those passages in the Torah. So therefore we commemorate this by the Anshei Maimod would read from the Torah section that dealt with the creation of the world. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we continue, we have on the side a nosei, a topic heading, Tanios Shel Anshei HaMaimod, the fasting that these service groups practiced, or these representatives practiced, Le'ezen Matarois Hisanu B'chol Yoim V'yoim. What was the purpose of their fasting? They fasted, we'll see in the course of the Gemara, Monday through Thursday. Each day was tied into a specific purpose for the fast. And we'll also see in the Gemara, Hesper Loma Lohoyu Misanin Bimei Rishon Vishishi, why there was no fasting on Sundays nor Fridays. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan Anshei Mishmor Hoyu Mispalin Al Korban Acheim Shiskabel Baratzon, the members of the Mishmor would pray for the sacrifice to be accepted by the Almighty. Anshei Maimod Miskansin LeBeis HaKnesses, the Anshei Maimod would gather in the synagogue, in shuls, V'yoshvin Arbataniyos, and they would observe 4 days of fasting. B'sheni B'Shabbos, that's on the second day of the week, on Monday, B'shlishi, B'Ravii, U'B'Chamishi, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. B'sheni, the fasting on Monday, Al Yorde Hayam. It was in honor of, or for the success, the benefit of those who are seafaring individuals. Rashi develops the theme, expands on this, that since on the second day of creation, we would read Yehi Rokia B'Soch HaMayim, so mention of water was made, that corresponds to the seafarers. B'shlishi, on Tuesdays, al holchei midboros, the fasting would be for the benefit of desert travelers. And the reason for that is because on the third day of creation, it says, v'tero'e hayabosha, the dry land became visible. So that is the connection between the holchei midboros and the fasting of the Anshei Maimud on Tuesdays. Boravii, al askira shelotipol al hatinoikos. On the fourth day of creation, the fasting was for the benefit of children. They should not become victim of a disease known as askira. And Rashi explains the connection to slightly, it's a more abstract connection, but in the Torah it says that the heavenly illumination bodies were set up, and they're called the Me'orois HaShamayim. Now the word Me'orois is spelled without a vav in it, and it comes out Me'eras, and the word Me'eras is something of a cursed nature, and Askara being a disease is associated with that word. So that's that's the fourth day association. Uba, and we continue with the days of the week. Bachamishi al ubros uminikos. There was fasting regarding pregnant and nursing women. Ubros shelo yapilu, the pregnant women, that they should have a successful birth and not miscarry. Manikos, the nursing women, shianiku, as they should be successful in nursing their children. Ube'erev Shabbos lohoyu mesanin mitnei kavod haShabbos. Kavachomer b'Shabbos atzmo. On Friday there would be no fasting. That is a sign of honor to Shabbos, and all the more so on Shabbos itself, one would not engage in fasting. Be'echod b'Shabbos my time. Although, what about Sunday? Why is there no fasting on Sunday? And as far as that is concerned, three answers. Number one, Amar Rabbi Yochanan mitnei hanoitzrim. The Notzrim declared Sunday as a holiday, and therefore it's not a good idea to fast on the day that they declared a holiday. Number two, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar b'nei shehu shlishi liyetzira. It's the third day. Sunday is the third day since man was created. Now man was created on Friday, so Friday, Shabbos or Saturday, and then Sunday. Sunday is the third day since man was created. Now, the creation of man, we can say, is the ultimate in what we call a medical procedure. And we know from other sources, and Rashi quotes the relevant source, that Rashi refers to the Maisa Shechem, where the community, without getting into details, had been circumcised, and it says Vayhi b'yom ha'shlishi b'yosim kovim, on the third day, that's when they reached their maximum pain level. So that the third day is the day of great pain, and hence it wouldn't be healthful to have a fast on the third day, and the third day of creation. In terms of man who was created on Friday, so the third day after his creation would be a Sunday. And number three, Reish Lakish Amar Mitnei Neshama Yisera. We don't want to have people fasting on Sunday because of the departure of the Neshama Yisera. The Amar Reish Lakish Neshama Yisera, that means an extra, literally an extra soul, an extra spirit, Nitna Boi B'Odem Erev Shabbos, is implanted in a person on Friday as we usher in Shabbos. B'Motzei Shabbos Noitlin Oisa Mimeno, and on Saturday night, and with the conclusion of Shabbos, this extra spirit is removed from the person. Shenemar, the Pasuk indicates Shavas Vayinofash, and we explain that Kevon Sheshavas, once a person celebrated Shabbos, the experiencing it as a day of rest and a day of, well, extra eating, Vai Ovdo Nefesh, woe unto the lost spirit. Once again, so with the passage of Shabbos, there's this lost spirit, and in that state, as soon as that happens, it wouldn't be a good idea, would not be good to fast. Hence, no fasting on Sunday. B'yom HaRishon Breishis V'Yerokia. Now here, before we go on in the Gemara, we have on the side the topic heading Chalukas ha'olim l'kriyas ha'mamodos, the breakdown of Aliyah, those are the people called to the Torah for the reading of the Torah sections that were read during the Ma'amodos. We said that the psukim dealing with Maisa Bracious were read during the Ma'amodos. We will see a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel Eich Lechalek Parshas Shel Chamisha Psukim. How does one divide a section of five psukim amongst two aliyos, two people that are called to the Torah? We'll see later in the Gemara the idea of someone being called to the Torah includes the fact that he shall read no less than three psukim. So when you have five psukim, how are they to be divided between two aliyos? The Gemara. The Yom Rishon, Bracious Virokia. Tana. And Abraisa elaborates, it says, Bracious Bishnayim. For the section of psukim that we call Bracious, there are two people, one after the other, that are called to read. Yirokia Be'echad. And the section that's entitled Yirokia is read by one person. Bishlamo Yirokia Be'echad. I understand that the section in the Torah beginning with the expression Yehi Rokia, that section is a section made of three psukim, and it makes sense that one person is called to read three psukim. That's standard procedure. Ela Bracious Bishnayim, but that you're teaching me that the Bracious psukim, the first five psukim, are to be read by two people, one after the other. Hey psukim havyon, that's only five psukim in that section. V'tanya hakorei b'torah al yivchos migimel psukim. We have a teaching that says, a source that says that one who reads in the Torah, and who's called up to read from the Torah, shall read no less than three psukim. Now five can't be divided between two people, so there are solutions. Rav omar doileg u'shmul omar poisek. Rav says you use the Doleg method. The Doleg method, very simply, is person number one would read Psukim Aleph, Beis, Gimel, or 1, 2, and 3, and person number two would read again Pusuk 3, and he would end up reading 3, 4, 5. Let's go over that again. Rav says Doleg, it's 1, 2, 3, and then 3, 4, 5. So you have each person reading 3 Psukim. Ushmuel Omar Posek. What does that mean? It basically means 2.5, and then 2.5, which means person one would be called up, and he would read Psukim Aleph Beis and half of Posek Gimel, and person number two would read the second half of Posek Gimel, Dalid and He. Now the Gemara continues with a standard procedure. Each one of these opinions, Rav and Shmuel, why did he say not like the other? The Rav, the Omar Doleg, my time or lo Omar Posek. Rav who said, you do the Doleg method, why did he not say, do the half, 2.5, 2.5 method? Answer, Kosovar, Rav holds, kol psuka de lo paske Moshe, any verse that Moshe Rabbeinu did not split, anan lo paskin on le, we have no right to split it. We have a bracketed section. Let's skip the bracketed section initially. The reason for these brackets is that by doing so, we preserve the standard Gemara form. And what do we mean by standard Gemara form? Just like we said before, why did each one not say like the other? So we just saw why Rav did not say like Shmuel. Now, the question is, why did Shmuel not say like Rav? And that's what you see right after the brackets. If you just look at it briefly, use the bracket length indicator, you see we're picking up five lines from the bottom. Shmuel Amar Posek, my time Amar Doleg. Shmuel said, you do split the Posek in half. Why did he not adopt the Doleg method? Namely, 1, 2, 3, and then 3, 4, 5. The Gemara then will answer. We'll get back to that. We did skip a section. Within the brackets, the Gemara raises a question on Shmuel's approach. So in the brackets, Ushmuel Omar Posek. Shmuel says we split the Posek. Omi Paskinan. But can we do that? And here the Gemara is asking from from another angle. It says V'ho'omar Rabbi Chanina Kora, part of his name is Kora. He was an expert in scriptures. Rabbi Chanina Kora said, Tsar Godol Hoyoli Eitzel Rabbi Chanina HaGodol, to another gentleman. He says, I had great frustration, literally great pain, great frustration, great difficulty with Rabbi Chanina HaGodol. V'lo hitirli lifsok elo l'tinoikis shel beis rabon. He would not be willing to allow me to split psukim into two parts, other than for the children, for the sake of children who are learning Torah. Hayol u'hislamed asuyin, since their engagement with the psukim is for study, is for understanding them, so he was willing to compromise and allow a pasuk to be split into two parts. In other words, the teacher would read only half the pasuk and explain it, and then have the children review it, and only after that he would then read the second half of the pasuk. But for anyone else, you couldn't do that. You can't split psukim. So the question that is raised over here is, how can Shmuel say that during the Ma'amados you would read a half a pasuk? Rabbi Chanina HaGadol certainly would not allow that. The Gemara responds, Ushmuel, Hosam Taimomai. There, in the case of the Tinokos, where we saw, we'll call it a stringency on the part of Rabbi Chanina HaGadol, why was he restrictive? Or why was he lenient by the Tinokos? Why? Mishum dolo efsher, because there was no other option. A child can't learn an entire pasuk in one shot. It has to be split up for educational purposes. You have no other way. Well, using that idea of dolo efsher, hochanami, lo efsher, here too, with regard to the reading of the psukim from the Maisa Bracious, I have no other way. I have only five psukim for the first two aliyas, and there, I have no other way to deal with it other than by splitting it. So when you have no other choice, there is room for leniency of splitting the pasuk. Now, it seems to me, as we're learning together in this shiur, that at the beginning of the brackets, we asked, how could Shmuel split the pasuk? It would seem that maybe Shmuel doesn't hold from Rav's rule. Hence, the Gemara is not asking from that. It was Rav's answer that called Psukim de Lopaski, Moshe Anah Poskina, that if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't split a Pasuk, so we don't split a Pasuk. But that's Rav's opinion. As far as Shmuel is concerned, that isn't a limiting factor. But what was bothering the Gemara was the fact that we saw that Rabbi Chanina HaGadol in general didn't allow the splitting of psukim other than for a special contingency, and that was the education of the children. The Gemara then used that very point and said that when you have a restrictive circumstance, you have no other choice, so we will allow the splitting of a pasuk. Now the Gemara continues and says, Ushmuel Omar Posek, my time al Omar Doleg. Shmuel said that you split the third Posek into two parts. Why not do the method that Rav mentioned? Do 1, 2, 3, and then the second reader will do 3, 4, 5. The answer is Gzeiro Mishum Hanichnosin, Ugzeiro Mishum Hayoitzin. We're fearful of the mistake that people who come late, the Nichnosim who come in late, and those who leave early would otherwise conclude. Let's try to illustrate that. Imagine you would do the Doleg method. So you'd have the second person would start reading from Pasuk Gimel. In other words, we have Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. That's Pasukim 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. The second reader would be reading from Pasuk 3. Let's say someone came into the synagogue at that point. He would see someone picking up from Pasuk 3, Pasuk Gimel. How many Pasukim did the person before read? Well, as far as he sees, He only read Pasuk Aleph and Beis. So he would get the wrongful impression that a person can receive an aliyah, can be called to the Torah, to read from the Torah, for a mere two psukim. So that would create that's an error that would be formed in the minds of people who come in late to shul. You also have another situation, the yotzim, people who leave early. Now, let's put ourselves in their position. Imagine you saw the first person reading Pasuk Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. And the end of the section is only two psukim away. A person who leaves early would think that, oh, the next guy to be called up is going to read only two psukim. So that too is a mistake. So Shmuel solves this problem by not leaving room to think that. Hence he says the first person reads psukim 1, 2, and half of 3. So at least you have a representative 3 psukim read. And likewise, when the second person is called up, he reads half of Pasuk 3, and then 4 and 5. Also a representation of 3 psukim. So we don't have to worry about any mistake that the nichnosim, the late comers, or the early, the yotzim and the late departures might reach. The Gemara asks a question. You'll see this question is actually on both Rav and Shmuel. Meisvei, parsha shel shisha psukim, korin osa b'shnayim. In general, not here with the ma'amodos, but any time during the year, if you have a section of 6 psukim, they can be split amongst 2 people, 3 per person. V'shel chamisha psukim, if you have a section in the Torah that has 5 psukim, harishon kore gimel, the first one would read psukim aleph, beis, and gimel, or 1, 2, and 3. Hasheni kore shnayim miparsha zu v'echod miparsha acheres, and the second aliyah would read the balance of 2 psukim and 1 more pasuk from the next section, but he would also have a total of 3. V'yeshomrim, and another opinion holds gimel, 3 psukim, 3 additional psukim from the next section. In other words, the second aliyah after the first person, when you had 5 psukim, the first person read 3, the second aliyah will read the balance of 2 plus another 3 psukim from the next section. And why is this second opinion saying you have to read 3 psukim into the new section and not just 1? That you don't start a new section of the Torah by reading any less than 3 psukim. But that second aliyah would then have a total of 5 psukim. Leman diomar doleg lidlog. So the Gemara here, the question comes to a head. According to Rav, who said doleg, so if you have a section of 5 psukim, why do you have to spill over into the next section? Do the doleg method. Psukim 1, 2, 3, and then 3, 4, 5. Uleman diomar posek, Shmuel, who said split psukim, lifso. Likewise, if you have 5 psukim, read them 2.5 and 2.5. Why the spillover into the next section of the Torah? The Gemara answers, Shiny Hossam. The source that we saw that said if you have 5 psukim, so the second aliyah is going to have to spill over into the new section. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Chof Ches, the Is Lay Ravocha, means in general there is room, you can spill over. However, here with our Ma'amodos, since we're dealing with the Maisa Bracious and the days of creation, and those days correspond to the days of the Ma'amodos, so you can't spill over into the next section. It wouldn't have any relevance. So that on the first day, all you have available is the psukim that we call Bracious and Yehi Rokia. You don't have any room to spill over. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.